All right, let's turn to John chapter 8. John 8. I want to start at verse 30. Yeah, let's do it 30. Verse 30. The Jewish people were listening to Jesus saying crazy things. How many know Jesus says crazy things?
No.
Yeah. I mean, things that don't agree with your mind. You can't grasp his stuff. Not because you don't understand the words. You understand them, but they're confusing. Because religion is in diametric opposition to Jesus' talk, even his own church. His own church gets him mixed up. They make the good news bad.
Yeah.
They make the good news bad. But that's okay. He's not troubled by that. God's not mad at that. Let them do what they want to do. How many know that God wants you to be free so you can make mistakes?
Yep.
You can make mistakes. I mean, know that you have made a few.
A few.
So you're allowed to make mistakes. He doesn't have a law that says you can't make mistakes. I know you believe he does, but he doesn't. He just has, you may freely eat, except for that one thing. That's that one tree. Don't eat that one. Why not? Because that's listening to your mind, your will, your emotions, yourself, as though you were God. So don't eat of that one. Don't take knowledge of that one that you're awesome, that you're good, that you're great, that you're smart, strong, wondrous. I mean, no, you're not God. This is simple. So it's so simple. Don't eat of this one tree. You can eat of all the trees. Just don't eat of this one tree. Tree of life, you can eat of that. You can eat of any tree. Just don't eat of this one tree. So, of course, having all foreknowledge, he knew we would, and did, and still do. Even the church eats of that tree. Still, the church people are still eating of the tree of my will, my thought, my emotions. And so they're still not happy. All God ever wanted for everybody was happy. All he ever wanted for anyone was safe, secure, peaceful. Enter into my rest. Stop laboring. But that message is ignored, not again because they don't understand it, it's because they don't understand what they're looking right at. Is that God wants you to be a child of the Father and inherit everything and enjoy yourself in this world and in the next. I am. Is anybody else doing it? I'm doing it.
No.
I'm not under a law. Never been under a law. I've always been lawless. I've always been my own. Have you been like that? I love it. I love it. Thank God. Did they teach you that in Mexico? Is that the way to... All right. It's natural. Oh, so anybody can get it.
Amen.
Anybody can get it. Praise God. Oh, I love it. You know, God doesn't care that you sin. Doesn't care. I know you all think he does. The other reason he doesn't want you to sin is because it doesn't lead to happiness. Sin leads to pleasure for a season. You know, pleasure for a season, but it doesn't really lead to lasting, enduring happiness, joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. It doesn't lead to those. So God wants you to be happy all the time. How many of you are happy all the time? You got a hold of the message. You got a hold of the message. It's by faith. It's by faith. It's by faith. You don't have to actually feel it. You just believe it. Yeah, I'm happy. You don't have to check with your guts. You don't have to check with your belly. You're happy. Why? Because God's for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? So there's a lot of good scriptures in this book, and they all say the same thing. Old Testament, New Testament. I don't see any law in the Old Testament. I know there's a law, but I don't see it. I just see it as a promise. I see every law is a promise. You shall not eat of that tree. But I see it as this. You shall not eat of that tree. Because I, the Lord your God, am holy. In other words, it's a promise.
Yeah.
It's the same words. It's just you. There's no inflection. This is not, you know, on a tape somewhere. It's written down. So how do you know that that's a command? How do you know that's not a promise?
Right.
Well, because there's a punishment tied to it. Really? What, did God say, if you eat of that tree, I'll kill you? He didn't say that. He just said, you'll die. But how do you know that's not your own decision? How do you know that's God killing you? It isn't. God never wanted to kill anybody. I desire not the death of any sinner. Mm. What about Esau? What about Pharaoh? Now, he liked them. Did you know that God liked Esau? He loved him. It says in the Bible he hates him. He doesn't hate him. Pastor, you're just perverting the scriptures to the way you want it to go. I am. But I'm right. I remember Jesus, they caught a woman in adultery, and they knew he had the stoner under the law. So they were going to catch him. Because any way he goes, if he says she's free, they got him because he went against Moses' law. If they said she's guilty, he had to kill her. So they knew they had him. He is a checkmate. There's no way he could get out of this one. I mean, no, Jesus is kind of sneaky.
Yeah.
He really knows how to get out of little corners you stick him in. And you can too. You can get out of any corner. Why? Because if God be for you, who can be against you? What if God were for you? Do you think somebody could do something to you if God was for you? Could they kill Jesus before he was ready to die?
No.
You know, he laid down his life. They didn't take it from him. He said that. He said that they're not taking my life. I'm laying it down. That's why I came here. I came down to do this because you had to die. So I wanted to do that for you because I don't have any sweat. I know if they kill me, I'll just jump up again. How many know that Jesus has life in himself? But we don't. We're derivative. We derive life from him. If we're in relationship to him, we got it. But if we break our branch off from his vine, we don't have it. So it's not on who you are, it's whose you are. Who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? I mean, who has claimed you as his own? Amen? All right, I'll get into the scripture because I could go on and on and on and on. I love this. I love this. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Now, these are Jewish people. These are Jewish people. How many know Jewish people are stubborn? Well, they are. And stiff-necked. I didn't say that. Moses said that. He said, you people, I know what. You're going to get all the curses and none of the blessings. Don't you think that's funny? No, you don't. I do. I think that's funny that the guy who gave the law, who himself was a lawbreaker. But anyway, the guy who gave the law didn't get into heaven by the law. He didn't get into the promised land by the law. But he got in. How did he get in? Good news. He saw the promise instead of the command. He gave the commands. He just said whatever God said. He was faithful in all his house to say what he said. But he himself didn't even get to go in the promised land by the law. He didn't keep a law to get in. He believed another one. When did he say that? That's when he said, another prophet God will raise up. Listen to him. They don't listen to what I'm saying, because this law that I'm saying will just make you guilty. I mean, that when you're under a law, you're going to be guilty. Yeah. And those that lie and say, I did it. Yeah, I've done that from my youth. Remember that one guy? Riches all get out. I've kept all the laws. I did awesome. I was awesome. I've done it from when I was a young child. I've always loved God. I've always kept his law. Always great. Jesus, that's marvelous. That is awesome. Well, God bless you. He said, but if you would be perfect, okay, just sell all you have, come follow me. I mean, you want more even. Oh, good, very good. I like that. He saw the man had a hunger for God. How many know that rich people have a hunger for God? But they also love their riches. So he said, let me relieve you of that burden. Just go sell all you have. And then give all of that to the poor. Don't give them your stuff. Go sell it and give it to the poor. How many of that would have brought the man utter happiness?
Oh, yes.
And come follow me. Why? I'm the one who has rest. I'm the one who has life. I'm the one who has shalom. Did you know Jesus was always happy? Even when he wept. Even when, you know, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was just quoting the psalm. Just quoting the psalm. And when he did that, quoting that psalm, then he perished right there. Why? Read the rest of the psalm. Read the Psalm. All people that died were crucified on crosses like that. They could say that Psalm. And you don't have a lot of time because you're dying. So you just say the first verse and that indicates all the rest. I'm not joking. I'm telling you, this is how they did it. So when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You think he was feeling forsaken. But he read the scripture. For a brief moment, I will forsake you. But with everlasting love, I will take you back to myself. He knew the scripture. The whole Testament speaks of death and resurrection. So everything in the Bible is a promise. Are you enjoying the promises? Are you standing on the promises? Are you taking your position, your status on the promises rather than the laws? How many know that promises by God are better than laws by you?
Amen.
You're not a law keeper, you're a law breaker. Amen? All have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'll bet even your children have sinned. I'm just guessing here because I know you're good parents. But I'm going to just try it. Have you sinned?
Yes.
Yes. It was a weak yes, but it was a yes. Have you sinned? Yeah. Yep, I like that one. Yep. It's a little more, you know, don't question it. Have you sinned? Yes, also. But you haven't. You're the father of the house.
I'm the preeminent one.
The preeminent one. I love it. I love it. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if you're going to get in by your sins, you're probably not going to get through the gate. You know, you'll be turned down at the gate. Have you made any sins at all? A couple, but I made up for it, I think. Uh-huh. You're out. You're out. You aren't going to make it. You're out. Get out. So, yeah. No, but I didn't keep them up. I wasn't like other people. No, you're out. Okay, I was a pastor. Okay, come on in. How many know? If you're a pastor, you just get in. You just get in because you're a pastor. What could be better? No, he won't let pastors, especially pastors. Depart from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. Amen. Do y'all see the humor of this? This is good news. I can make fun of it because it's good news. I didn't look at the hard parts. I looked at the easy part. You know, when you eat food, just skip all the stuff you don't like. Put that back of the plate. Just eat the good stuff first.
Yeah.
You all know if you have lunch with me, I'll always eat dessert first just in case something happens and I don't get to that. I'm going to start with that. Get the dessert first. I want the goodies. Yeah, I'll eat the spinach and stuff later. All right. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. And then all of a sudden he got a whole bunch of believers among the Jews. And then he said to them these words. If, conditional, if you continue in my word. Not if you, okay, I spoke some words and you believed. But if you continue, don't just be a believer. If you continue, don't just start in the outer court as a believer. If you continue in my word, it's a process. It's not a one-time event.
Right.
But if you continue, most Christians have never continued in his word. Most Christians do not continue. They go to church, but they hear the same message over and over again. You know, get born again or
right.
Rededicate yourself or behave yourself or try to do better or whatever. I don't preach that. I want you to be discipled, disciplined. I don't want you to be a believer. I want you to be a believer who becomes a disciple and submit yourselves to God so I can kill you.
Amen.
I mean, no, that's what discipleship is. Mm. Death to your will, to your mind, to your emotions, to your flesh,
Amen.
To your way of doing things. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Mm. Well, that's another whole way. So as a pastor, I'm a killer. Because that's my job, is to make sure you're dead. 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 Paul says, I die daily. So the goal is to get to heaven, you got to go through the fire. You got to go through the suffering. You got to go through pain. Don't you love it? Aren't you glad you're here? Thank God you have. This is good. Is this not good teaching?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's great.
Because it just burns off the flesh.
Yes.
Does it destroy the spirit? Not at all. It purifies the spirit. Destroys the flesh. Mm-hmm. That's a good deal. Mm-hmm. That's a good deal. So fire, the same fire that burns the flesh, is also purifying the spirit. And you can't go to heaven without it. That's why when I go, I talk to the gate man, say, come here to go to heaven. He said, oh, no problem. What have you done? Everything perfectly. Really? According to the book I'm looking at, you screwed up a lot. No. You're looking at the wrong book. Look at the Lamb's Book of Life. You see that one right there. You'll see my name is in there. What do you mean? It's there. Well, open it up and see if I'm not in there by faith. Because Jesus is the one I'm relying on. He did perfectly, so I did perfectly. Because what he did for me.
Yes.
He did it for me. You'll see my name in there. So I was like, let me see that. Let me look at that. Yeah, that's me. That's me. Hey, you misspelled my last name. How many know you can have fun?
Yes.
How many know you are children of the Heavenly Father?
Wow.
Yes.
By His will, by His pleasure. He doesn't want you to earn it. He'd just like to give it to you as a free gift that you don't deserve.
Right.
Little kids get Christmas presents that they don't deserve.
That's right.
Little kids, they're not thinking of being naughty and nice. They're just thinking of, give me some presents. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, little kids are like that.
Yeah.
Just give me another one. Do you have any more? they're not at all Christian or anything. We would, instead of having a tree in our house, I used to build a big manger that the kids could go into and put all the presents under that manger. So they'd get the idea, tell them all about Jesus and the manger and, you know, not have the tree with the tinsel and all that stuff. And then my granddaughter, one day I was showing her that, and we were looking at the baby. This is the baby Jesus here. We had a little baby Jesus in the thing. And here's the angel right here over it. I had a little angel that I got from Israel. It was made out of olive wood. It's beautiful. Wooden carved angel. Put that above it and so on and so forth. And she was very devout. Loved it. And that was great. I just felt so good. Went to bed the next morning when I woke up. The angel was laying on the ground. And the wings were broken off. That hand carved thing that I, you know, paid for it, Israel, bought it in Bethlehem. And then here, my Bethlehem angels laying on the ground, broken. So I quizzed the kids. We have 8 grandkids from that one daughter. I quizzed them and said, you know, does anyone know what happened to Jesus' angel? So I knew the daughter, the one granddaughter, the last one that was with me, I knew, maybe she knew. Because she loved that. She loved that angel. She liked that angel. You'd have to climb up into this manger to get it. And I'm sure she did. And anyway, I said, do you know anything about it, Hannah? Do you know why baby Jesus' angel is lying on the ground like that, all broken? Okay, you didn't have anything to do with that. Well, thank God you didn't. She said, well, maybe baby Jesus did it. maybe baby Jesus did that. So she blamed Jesus. She put all of her burdens on Jesus. How many know that? So that was the right answer. That was the right answer. I didn't correct her or anything. Maybe Jesus did do that. And then I got to talk to her about the mercy of God, the beauty of God. So, you see, everything is on our side.
Yeah.
Everything is for us.
Everything.
Children don't have to be good to be loved by God. People can be bad. They can kill His Son. He still loves Him. They can break all His laws. He still loves Him.
Amen.
They can curse Him to His face. He still loves Him. Did you know that God has unconditional love? It has no conditions. It's just free. How many are into this? Because it really works. It really works. Well, get it for yourself first. Don't share it with anybody else. Just get it for yourself. God, no matter what I've done, no matter what I've thought, no matter what I've said, no matter what I've wanted, you like me? I haven't done anything right. I deliberately did some of those things. Some of those? Okay. All of those things. I deliberately did that. How many know when you do something wrong, you meant it? Even if you say, I didn't mean that. You're lying. Now you've added lying to what you did. Because you don't do things you didn't mean to do. How many know if you cut off your head, you're not going to do it?
Yeah.
So your head was in on that one. And no doubt, your heart might have been in on it too, but maybe it was just your soul.
Yeah.
So this is beautiful. They believed on his words that he said, but if you would be, if you would be. So let's read that one. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Mm. Really, really, really. You are my disciples. How many here are believers, but you're also continuing in his word? It's like being here.
Yeah.
And so you're a disciple. You're a disciple. Well, a disciple is totally different than a believer. A believer believes that Jesus died for you, that Jesus rose for you, Jesus was buried for you, that Jesus sits on high for you. That's a believer. But now, if you're a disciple, you submit to him as Lord. You actually voluntarily want to serve him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God, Roxy. I'm glad you forgave him. Praise God.
Margaret was out there praying with me.
Amen. Amen. I knew he shouldn't be alone like that. He should not be alone. He needs a helpmate. He needs a helpmate. All right. So God, deliberately, consciously, knowingly, wants everyone to be a disciple, but he won't force you. It is just that if you want to be continuing my word, in other words, don't just start with me as Savior. I'm also Lord. Continue with me as Lord. Submit to me. Now, lords you submit to, saviors you believe in.
Right. Right.
You believe saviors, whatever they say, you believe that. But that's something they did for you. It's passive to you. It's not active. Right. But to be under the lordship of Jesus, Lord, tell me what to do and I'll do it. Ah, that's active. Now, that's an act of will. Mm-hmm. I want to, I'm not just believing you, I want to serve you. I'll do anything to worship you and serve my neighbor. Tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Amen. Yes.
But how many know that what God wants is not for you just to believe on him and then just be a disciple, but he has the third thing he wants.
No.
He wants to marry you. If you're a believer who becomes a disciple so that all your sins are gone, because the purpose of discipleship, as I told you, is to kill your flesh.
Yeah.
Is to kill your flesh. I know I've done it with Hugo. I know you're almost perfect, right?
Yeah.
And getting there. So I know I've done that. I've been very successful at choking him, killing him till he has no other will but Jesus' will. Amen? And it's working out good for the marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a lot better. You remember when you brought him first to me? And
oh, yeah.
What a mess. But thank God we've worked on him. I mean, know that the...
Thank God for Jim.
Yeah. Amen. Say that again.
Thank God for Jim.
Yahoo. Amen. I love that. In all humility, I accept that. So, look, this is good news. Everything in here is good news. Not for me, for you. This is good news. There's nothing like this on the earth.
No.
Buddha won't do this.
No.
Muhammad won't do this. You can't get any other religion to say, sin and goof up, and I'll love you. And then I'll give you a free gift, and then now I'll marry you. And you'll sit on the throne forever and ever. There's no religion like ours. This one is made for sinners. Instead of the package reading for Alice, you know, from Santa or something. No, it says, to a sinner, Alice, from Jesus, your Savior, and your Lord, and your bridegroom. So that is a great way to get a present for a sinner. So this is designed. This is deliberately designed for real people instead of phony fake people.
Yes.
This is actually designed for real people. Did you know that all have sinned? Everybody has sinned.
Awesome.
Everybody. 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 And fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, the original purpose for which you were created was to worship him. To praise him. To love him. To adore him. How many know that nobody wants to do that? Not from the heart. with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength, and my neighbor as myself. It's just a killer. That's a killer.
Yeah.
If I love God with all my heart, what about me?
Yeah.
If I love my neighbor as myself, where does myself come in? I mean, if you love others, what about you? You get to cheat you? I mean, no, God will take care of you.
Yes.
He'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You don't have to worry about you.
That's right.
Don't worry about you at all. Just go ahead, worship God. He'll give you everything else. Love your neighbor as yourself. He'll supply all your needs.
Yeah.
I mean, no, that you can't really trust God. I mean, what I told you is good news, but the truth is nobody trusts him, because everybody who believes in those words actually doesn't do them. Because they just really think, well, you know, just in case, I don't know if God's going to kill my enemy or not. I may have to do it. I may have to protect myself here. How many know that most people are saving themselves all the time, even though they know Jesus is their Savior?
Yeah.
I mean, in theory, he's the guy, but in practice, we like to take care of ourselves just in case God doesn't come through. Mm-hmm. Remember, he says, I'll deliver you right early, and it's already past noon, and, you know, it's already getting... not right early at all. It's like, God, you don't act fast enough.
Yeah.
I mean, God is slow to anger. He's patient, long-suffering. He's going to let the enemy... How many know the enemy is still out there running the world? And here we are in the middle of the world, and it's still wicked and dark. In fact, I think the Christians are losing and the bad guys are winning.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice that? We're losing. We're losing. Our stock has gone down, way down. It's a penny stock, I think, now. You can buy it. Almost nobody is really, you know, purchasing that stock. Just a handful of people.
Yeah.
But I tell you, we win. We win. No matter what. We always win. You know why? Because if God be for you, who can be against you?
Yeah.
If God be for you. Do you believe that?
Oh, yeah.
Skip the disciple part. Skip the marriage part thing. Just start with the first one. Just He loves you just as you are without one plea. Amen? All right. And if you continue my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The word. Well, it's really Jesus. Jesus is the word. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you, set you free. Now, do you remember, this is going to be a beautiful sermon. This is going to be one of the goodest ones. This is a good one. The other, but this one, this is going to be good.
It's already good.
I want to teach you today about freedom. I want to teach it to you from a scriptural point of view. Manumission. You ever heard that word? Emancipation, proclamation, all that stuff. To man, that's a hand. To manumit someone is to let them go free from your hand. Or to send them away. Okay? In the Hebrew, shalach. Shalach. Say it. Shalach. Shalach.
Shalach.
You have to have that guttural. Shalach. Okay, so shalach means that I send somebody away voluntarily to the one that's asking to take that thing. Okay? So God comes to Pharaoh, but he doesn't come personally. He uses Moses, who can't really speak that well. He stutters and stuff. So he sends Aaron with Moses. And that way, the thing will be articulate and he won't be stuttering and stuff like that. And so Moses said, you know, I can't talk. Religion, talk. As God says, God was angry at him for saying that. Because when God calls you, you can do it. Or if you can't do it, trust that God knows what he's talking about anyway. How many know he'll send you on a mission that you can't accomplish? You know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Don't you see that one? It's impossible. Hugo, can you see that? Yes. So nobody can ever please a woman. Has there ever been a man that's ever been able to please a woman? 100%? No, she wants more. And more. And more. She's insatiable. This is amazing. So you can't please a woman. How many of you cannot please a woman? You do something right and she wants it to keep going and going and going. Peg, I took you out. Isn't that enough? You know, she wants it again the next night and the next night. She just wants always to say I love you. You have to say it every day. I haven't changed my mind. I would have told you. But she wants to hear it every day. I hope you're not like that. You're not like that. You don't need him to say that every day, do you? No. You're used to him saying it once a month or once a year or at least in a decade or something like that. I mean, he hasn't changed his mind, so you don't need to question it. But Peg was different. She wanted all the time. Peg, I can't. We're Germans. Germans don't do it like that. I don't think the Irish do unless they're whiskied up or something. I don't think. No, we don't do that. So how many know that God wants you to be broken? Yes. You're not your own. You got to do what God says. Don't eat of that other tree where you do what you want, what you think, what you feel. No. This one, don't eat of that tree. You don't need to know you. You need to know him. Well, I feel, well, I think, well, I want, well, I imagine, well, I. You know, you don't need to know who you are. The whole modern world is all psychological. The psychology is witchcraft. I don't know. Was that clear? I'll say it again. Psychology is witchcraft.
It is.
This is a Bible verse. We once regarded Christ from a human point of view. There it is. That's psychology. We regarded him from a human point of view. Anthropological, psychological, sociological. Well, but we regard him thus no longer. Why? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come.
Amen.
So we don't regard him now after the natural order or the cultural order or the psychological order. We regard him as now the Savior, the Lord, the Bridegroom, Son of God, Son of Man, our all in all, our beloved, etc., etc., etc. So that'll change your life. Yeah. Who's your best friend? Jesus. Please, if you're married, do not look for happiness in your mate.
Amen.
If you're not married to Jesus first, you shouldn't be married to somebody else second.
Amen.
Because you have to be a lover of Jesus.
Yeah.
He's the one that does everything. He's the one that makes everything possible, and he does it by just killing you.
Yeah.
When I'm dead, I do a lot better on loving. In other words, when I don't do anything, it's better if it's Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what God wants, is that he gets all the glory. You see, if you do it, it'll be imperfect, bad, selfish. You want something. You're expecting a reward somewhere, some kind of recognition. I mean, Peg is like that. I'm just telling you all her sins because I don't want to talk about mine. But I just say she's like that. If she does something, she wants me to notice it and say something, you know. Well, I did get your thing. What? Yeah. Well, do you want to say thanks? Yeah, thanks. No, I mean, do you want to say thank you? Well, okay. Thank you. Thank you. How many know that people like to get a reward for what they do?
Yeah.
When they restrain themselves or when they go out of their way to help you and so on, they want a reward. How many know people want honor? And glory, worship. I mean, know that man is not made for worship. You're made to worship, not to receive worship. You can be loved unconditionally, but you don't deserve worship. That belongs only, exclusively, entirely to God, who made you. So, God wants all that. He's worthy of it because it's due his name. We're not. We're derivatives. We're creatures. Now that we're new creations, the new creation is that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. He's doing it all. So he should get all the credit. He should get all the glory. He should get everything, not you. And your joy is in being dead to yourself and dead to this world and dead to all that sin stuff. And let Jesus live through you. Amen?
Amen.
So you could actually say to the person sitting next to you right now, I've never liked you. You could say that. But being a Christian, I have to say, I like you. How many know you could do that? But a better thing would just be to say, what a joy to see you today. It thrills my heart. You say, well, Pastor, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Really? Well, what are you? The hypocrite. If you don't say it, you're a hypocrite. You can't say you love Jesus and Jesus is in your heart and in your life and, you know, working through you if he isn't. So is he or isn't he? Is he in there just being quiet, waiting for you to let him out? You know? No, he's in you to will and to do of his good pleasure through the Holy Ghost. Anyway, Jesus said to them, if you continue my word, you'll know the truth will set you free. Because you'll be my disciple. And then people will know that the work you just did wasn't you. Therefore, they'll glorify your Father, which is in heaven, and not you. Yeah. Why? Because God gives you everything. You don't need a reward. You already have everything. Did you know that the promises are so immense, so great, so awesome, so full, that you cannot think of a greater thing? You can't even imagine the things that God has in store for you in the future. No. Let alone the immediate future, let alone the present. What Jesus did for you on the cross, it'd take a lifetime to think about, meditate on, chew on. So as the disciple, he wants you to know that he's always for you. He's never been against you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Well, is God for you?
Yes.
Nobody can be against you. Nobody. Nobody. What about Satan? Can't. He can try, but he won't succeed because that'll just God will just hold him off. Satan, stop. That's my boy. That's my beloved. That's my daughter right there. Get back. And he's got a little choker chain on. That little... that he's just about to devour. Or he's like a roaring lion. Rawr. So what? He doesn't have any teeth. Why? Because Jesus knocks all his teeth out. Don't you do that to my little beloved down there. So how many know God protects you? You would not be alive today. You wouldn't be birthed. You wouldn't stay alive. And you wouldn't be alive at this hour unless God protected you. Unless he's keeping you.
Amen.
He's your defender. He's your provider. He's your beloved. He's your everything. He's your all in all. There's nothing missing. Nothing. Nothing. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. With Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. The scriptures are clear. They're strong. So what is freedom? Now, I want to say this. This is so powerful. To set a slave free. First of all, slaves are property. Slaves are property. Did you all know that? A slave is just property. They're not persons. They don't own anything. They don't have any rights. Surely not that are protected. They're just property. They have no will of their own, no words of their own, no deeds of their own. They always have to do what the master says. They're completely an object, a piece of property purchased, owned, seized, exchanged, whatever. However they obtain a slave, once you're a slave, you have no anything. You don't have anything. You can't make decisions because the master makes all your decisions. And if he's gracious to allow you to, you know, be with your own wife and not sell you off separately, that's his decision, not yours. But he could always take it away, or he can always restore it. He can do whatever he wants with you because you're not a person. You don't own anything. You don't have anything. You are on nothing. So a slave is nothing. Now I want to tell you about freedom. What if another master should see that you have a slave that I want? So another master could come in and purchase you from that bad master. Or it could be a good master. It doesn't make any difference. But the point is, there's only one good master, and that's God. Why? Because God made you in the first place. So therefore, he doesn't even need to purchase you. He actually could just demand that you give me back my slave. Do you remember Pharaoh? Moses? God said, by the way, Moses, I want you to say these words. I want you to go to Pharaoh. So he called him out of Midian, where he was living, because he had run away. Remember, he had run away from the Pharaoh because the Pharaoh was going to kill him because he killed an Egyptian and so on and so forth. And Moses could have been the ruler of the world. You all know that. He was the next slated emperor. He was the next slated King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was the top guy in the whole world, superpower of the day. And so he was going to be the next Pharaoh because Pharaoh's daughter, which was his title, he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So therefore, she became the next Pharaoh, and then he was going to become. Did you know there were women pharaohs? And so his mother, I could tell you who she is, but not important. But his mother then came down to the river one day and saw this little baby there, and she was just a princess at that time. But she would be the next Pharaoh. To say she's his daughter means she was the next in line. Her brother died. And anyway, a lot of problems. Men didn't survive too long often. But there were lots of girls. But so she was going to be the next one. She became the Pharaoh for a long time. One of the greatest of all pharaohs. In fact, I'll say she was the greatest. But that was Moses' mom. But it was by adoption. She adopted him. Just looked at that little Hebrew baby. She knew who he was. This is the Hebrew baby. My father, Thutmose the first. My father, he wants to kill all these Jewish babies because they're a threat to the Egyptian people, because there's more of them than us. I mean, you know, the Jews had just filled the place, and they were doing well in their Goshen land. So these new pharaohs came in, a pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. And then they decided to enslave them. Now, you can enslave anybody at any time. Booze can do it. Addiction can do it. Lust can do it. Greed can do it. All kinds of sins can enslave you so that you're actually addicted to that sin. How many are addicted to sweets? Don't raise your hand. I'm just making that up because I think there's two or three in the room that probably are. Let me think. And so we're addicted to praise. We're addicted to all kinds of things. We want them at any cost. So you can be a Christian and still be wicked. How many of you are wicked Christians? I mean, they're not wicked because they're saints. But they're wicked saints who do wickedly. How many of you know that? As a Christian, you can still lie, cheat, steal, rob. You can still do bad stuff. And many of the Dallas pastors are like that. Thank God I'm not. But some of the pastors are like that. They're bad. They're greedy, lustful, egocentric, et cetera, et cetera. I'm humble, nice, telling you the truth. But praise God, I will survive. God likes me. No, I'm no different than they are. The only thing is, I spend hours every day. I have to kill off my old self wants to just jump up again and, Jim, today you could be proud. Jim, today this could be your day. You know, and the old enemy tempts us every day to be awesome again, to be afraid again, to be bitter again. I mean, some Christians are bitter. You ever met one like that? There are some obnoxious. Did you know, did you ever meet an obnoxious Christian? They're just obnoxious. Praise God. We have to love them too. It's not easy. But God doesn't care about all that. God guarantees, he guarantees, he guarantees, he guarantees that the good work he began in you, he will surely complete.
Thank you.
But that's a guarantee. That's a guarantee. It doesn't matter how you die. Let's say you die the next minute. It doesn't make any difference. He guarantees the outcome. That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Once he purchases you out of the world, you're no longer a slave. He sets you free. Now, he doesn't have to do that. Because this slave thing is really interesting. So the children of Israel had become slaves. And they had a cruel master. And they were crying out, cruel masters, cruel. You know. And so he sent Moses to the people. He said, Moses, the people are crying out. They want my help. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I made a covenant 430 years ago. And I got to keep that for Abraham. The time is up. This is the time. So I just thought I'd talk to you today and tell you, leave where you are right now. Go to Egypt. Tell the Pharaoh these words. Mr. Pharaoh, God, the God of the Hebrews whom I serve, he wants the people, your entire economy, he wants the people to go. And he wants you to send them away because they don't belong to you. They're not your slaves. They're his. They're his slaves. So he's come to claim them. And the Pharaoh says, who's the is God. You're kidding. You got to be joking. You're stupid too, Moses. Do you realize that if he's the God of the slave people, what kind of good God is he? What kind of power does he have that he's enslaved his own people? No, they're my slaves. And so God said to Moses before that little conversation took place, he said, now, if he refuses, tell him this. If you refuse, I'll kill your son. Now, there God said he'd actually do it. Isn't that interesting? Don't you think that's funny? If you refuse, oh, by the way, my son Israel, in Hebrew, the yeh means future, shall. And the ra is from rosh, which means head. And so he's saying, if Israel, the son of God, is God's son, that's my son. So he says to him, tell them that Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Bekor, that's firstborn. So he has the rights of the firstborn, Bekorah. So he's saying, tell that to the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh's going, what kind of theology is this? What kind of nonsense is this? The stupid stuff. I'm the Pharaoh. I'm the son of God. It can't be the son. I'm the son of God. Ra. That's my father. I mean, you know, the Pharaoh was the son of God when he was on the earth, and then when he died, he became God. You have to go through the netherworld and all this stuff, and you finally are promoted. How many know that when people die, you'd say nice things about them? They were scoundrels during their whole life, but at their funeral, you have to make up something that says this was a good person. Yeah, everybody loved, let's see. And you just have to lie, really, because you have to try to find something good for some people. And so, somehow, just dying seems to make you into a saint. And everybody's just thinking of the good things they did rather than all the rotten things they did. Nobody wants to mention those. He was a thief, he was a liar, he was a whoremonger. He's all these bad things. Nobody wants to say that. And everybody knows in the family, he was no good. He didn't get along with his children. He was on his third marriage, he had this and that and so on and so forth. Nobody wants to mention all that. But you can read it in those little obituary things. You can read how many children they have and stepchildren and grand and not so grandchildren. You can read all that. You can see all that. But when you die, somehow you become a god. Uncle Sam, he was just a wondrous person. And I don't often know the people that I'm burying, so I have to make up something. I do. I have to just kind of think of something. He was born. And thank God for that. What a gift he was. No, I'm very good at it. I'm very good at it. I'm awesome. So when you have your funeral, I'll say something nice. I've got a standard thing that I can just say at any time. Hello. I sound ridiculous and silly. Actually, the truth is, I take it extremely seriously that this person was a gift of God. They were given by God. I don't care what they chose. Who knows? Who knows who didn't speak to them? Who knows that they had a pastor or not? Who knows if anyone ever told them the truth? Who knows anything about anything? Whoever set them free from their parents or whatever. Hello. These things are generational. Those curses get handed down. Somebody's an alcoholic and, the son may be, the daughter may be, or something like that, because it just passes on. Melancholy people tend to produce melancholy kids or rebellious ones. I don't want to be like him. I mean, you're caught either way you go. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. If you don't like it and don't forgive them, then you'll probably repeat it. Or you'll be so extreme on the other way that you'll be weird. I tell you, sinful parents can mess you up. Try to get better parents next time. If you can do it. So God has the right to come and claim his own. So he says, say this to the Pharaoh. Tell him, I'm his God too. My name is not Ra. It's not Allah. It's not, you know, some Hindu name. I don't have those names. Here's my name. I am that I am. I am El Shaddai. I am Yahweh Elohim, etc., etc., etc. He has a lot of names. But the point is, he is El Elyon, the Most High, the Creator of heaven and earth. Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning God created. Bereshit bara Elohim. Ve'et ha-shamayim, the heavens. Et ha-aretz, I created the heavens and the earth. And he created everything and everyone and everything is his creation. Everything that isn't him, he created. It's all subject to him. So if he wants to come, I mean, he's still the ruler of the nations. He's in charge today. I don't know if you know that. You may think the wicked are because they seem to be doing well. But he actually is in charge of the Muslims.
Yes.
He's in charge of them. He's in charge of the church. And I'll tell you when I get back, but I'm going to go and be in that part of the world right now. I like to go there. It's dangerous. I like to go where it's awful, terrible, dangerous. I could die. So pray for me. Because I don't want to die. I'm still too young. Too nice. Too helpful. Useful. Have a lot of good qualities. Whoever, if I do die, say that.
We will.
Let people know. He was a good man. He was a wonderful man. Some people don't like my sense of humor. That is normal. But you know what? God has a sense of humor. Here's one. It's like swallowing camels and straining out gnats. I think that's funny. Don't you think that's funny?
Yeah.
Or it's like the woman who had a little rip in the robe and sold a new patch on an old garment. What's wrong with that? It's because then when it gets wet, it'll pull it and destroy it. So it's useless. I thought that was funny. Jesus has a lot of funny things to say. Did you know Jesus has a sense of humor? Did you know that when he was being killed, taken away, he said that my joy might be in you? He was a joyful guy. His very first sermon, Makarioi, blessed. But the actual Makarioi means happy. The first sermon, happiness. God's always been into happiness. First sermon Jesus ever preached. Happy are those that are poor. A little hard to understand, but it's okay. Happy are those that mourn. Happy are those. Blessed are you when people persecute you and hate you and despise you on my account. So it's kind of a happy message he had. Do y'all see how happy that one was?
Uh-huh.
Imagine going home to your husband that day or your wife. What did he preach on? Well, it was his very first sermon and started out on happiness. Wow, that's good. That the Jews don't do that. What did he say? Happy are those that are poor in spirit. What's that mean? I have no idea. I have no clue. But at least he didn't say he was the door of the sheep or something like that. I mean, how many know Jesus is hard to understand? He's speaking plain English, but he's hard to understand. Yeah, as a matter of fact, you can get it upside down and backwards. But I'll tell you this, everything he ever said was for you. It was on your side. It was for you. Because God is always for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. So God is for you. Because he is for you, therefore nothing evil can befall you. Even if it appears to be so, ignore it. Turn your back on your problems. I mean, no, don't dwell on your problems. Don't worry about your problems. Don't be meditating on your troubles and problems. I'm going to the most troubled spot on the earth. I'm going there deliberately. I always go to the worst places. I like going to bad places. Why? Because there's not a lot of other people there. Nobody wants to be in a bad place. They want to go to a good place. But I tell you, the best place to go is wherever God sends you. If he sends you to Hawaii, that's fine. But I'd rather go where God wants me to go. And I believe I have something to say, but I have no idea if I'll be asked or not to say what I'm going to say. But I guarantee you, I will say it one way or the other, because this is God thing. This is God. This is God sending me to the worst place, which is the best place. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And I'm going to represent the state of Texas. That's awesome.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
I don't know anything about anything. What do I know? What can I say? What can I do? I mean, no, as a Christian, you don't have to worry ahead of time about what you're going to say or think or do. Just be you. Be you, whatever you are. I'm sure I wasn't chosen for my good looks or for my intelligence or for my sense of humor or for my wealth. I'm sure I was chosen for some quality, which I'm about to find out what it was. What was that quality? Why'd you ask me? Why was I chosen? I think it's to take notes. I think I'm there. I'm a great note taker. I'm an awesome note taker. I like taking notes, especially when big leaders of the world are talking together. So it's a political, economic, social, world-changing thing. But I know what the secret is, religion. I know why I'm going. I'm going because I'm a religious person. I'm a religious person. And they're actually calling me that. They're using that, I think they say reverend. Reverend, I don't believe in that title, but they're using that one, revered. You know, that's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
In my case, for sure.
Yeah.
It's not very reverend. I'll probably make a joke and get booted out.
Yeah.
So what is Jesus saying? When he went to Pharaoh, the first thing he did was he said, "These are my people. I claim them." So the first thing he does to the other master, the bad master, he says to the bad master, "That's my son. You've got my son. He's mine, not yours. Give him up. I demand it." Wow, it wasn't just I'll buy him from you or whatever. It was just a demand. But that was Pharaoh's whole economy. Those Jewish people were making bricks and they were helping to build these big things. And they can't just take away our economy. That's our whole livelihood here. Forget the gods and stuff. Economy, money. How many know when you touch a man's money, you've touched his heart? That's this world. How many know big money is big? Especially where I'm going, it's big. And oil and gas is going to play a role. What else? And jobs and all that kind of stuff. I know that. It's a place I don't belong, but I do belong there. Exactly where I want to go. Exactly. How many know this is the hour for Jesus to come back? Are you all aware of that? Are you all aware these are the last days? And we're getting real close to, you know, the Lord returning and so on. To take what's His. To claim what's His. Hey, that's mine. Give it to me. And so the church is His, but part of the church is not. Did you know that part of the church is just lukewarm? Spit him out of his mouth. But the cold he's not afraid of, but the hot, zestos, that's the group he likes. Lukewarm, kliaros, nah, doesn't want that group. I mean, most Christians today are lukewarm. Yeah. Majority, the dominant group out there is lukewarm. So what is lukewarm? Well, it means you're a Christian, but not really a Christian. You're half in the world, half in Jesus, you know. You're kind of confused, carnal, compromised. I mean, you know that God's not mad at them. He's mad at us, the hot ones. Everybody here is hot. Everybody here is zestos, you know, zeal, fervent, fire, burning. That's why your prayer every day is, "Lord, kill me." That's good. But if there's any wicked way in me, I want it gone. I want to go all the way with Jesus, completely, totally. I want to bless my wife, take all the burdens. I want everyone else to be blessed beyond measure. How many know that's us? We're servants of the true and living God.
Amen.
I mean, no, that's not just words. Of course it is words. It's just a bunch of words. But not for me. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So how many of you get to decide that? You'll be persecuted. Anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. You'll be hated, despised. You won't get anywhere. And yet, you know what? If God wants you to, He can send you right to the Pharaoh. Talk straight to him. Tell them the truth. How many know that there's no fear in love? Perfect love casts out all fear.
That's right.
God loves me perfectly, therefore wherever I go, I'm going to be blessed. Even if they curse me, they try to shoot me, kill me. I have been in danger all the time. Drink the water, you know, have a bullet go through you. There's always danger. Praise God.
Yes.
But it's fun. It's exciting. When you're a Christian, because you don't own yourself, you're a slave. So one master gets me from another. How many ways can you get somebody, obtain a slave? Oh, there's a lot of ways. It could be a purchase. It could be an inheritance. It could be an exchange. It could be where you seize it by violence. Just grab it and take it from them to seize the owner. It could be by borrowing. There's so many ways. But the way that God chose is demand. That's my son. I'm disputing. I'm the true owner. That slave belongs to me. And the minute God says that, the Pharaoh's irate. He's enraged. Get out of here. Okay, you know what? Just because you've come and said that, I'm going to make them. All right, they're going to have to make the same amount of bricks, but get their own straw. They got so much time to be thinking about freedom and liberty. In here, I'm the only one that's free. Everybody else is my slave. And so get to work or I'll beat you. And wow, that Pharaoh. Then the people came to Moses. Moses, you're getting us in trouble. This freedom thing stinks. This being free to worship God thing out in the desert, that's a stink idea. We're now odious in his eyes. It was bad enough paying 10% of our income. Now we're paying 60%. Hello? And so the people were oppressed. They were in the house of bondage. They were burdened. They were under an obligation. They were bound not to have a life of their own, not to have a will of their own, not to have a person. They couldn't develop their personality. They couldn't choose who they wanted to be. They had to be what he said they were. I mean, no, that's not God. God put in you the moment you were born. No, the moment you were conceived, he wrote upon your heart with his own finger, deliberately, his signature, mine. You belong to me. What I create, I own. What I own, I govern. What I govern, I dispose as I wish. What I dispose, I can divide. What I divide, I can perfect this one, destroy this one. I can waste this one. I mean, no, God can do anything he wants to do if he owns you, if you're a slave. So he purchases. Did you know he purchased them? Even though he demanded them, he also purchased them by the precious blood of the Lamb. You remember that? They were purchased by the blood of the Lamb. That was the Exodus. That was the night before they actually left after the 10th plague, where the son of Pharaoh did die, and all the firstborn cattle, people, everything in the land died except the Jewish people. What a God that can distinguish between what's his and what's not. He can judge between this and that. And he judged between the Egyptian, and every Egyptian family lost the firstborn, Bikor. But not the children of Israel. They lost nothing. Their cattle were still in place, their dogs, their cats, everything lived. Not one. And the Pharaoh went out and counted to look, to see, my God, go out and check this thing out. Because they're looking like he's saying something true. Because every Egyptian family has lost somebody and something. That's destroying us. And the people came to him and said, you know, Pharaoh, let these people go. Send them away. Shalach. Remember that word? Shalach.
Shalach.
Shalach. I want you to be good Hebrews. Shalach. I love that. Don't you see that? That means voluntarily release them away from you. Send them forth from your hands. Let go. Bind your own hands from them. Shackle your own feet from them. Do not trespass against them any longer. No more transgression against your slave. They're mine. And I have prior, higher, greater authority and power and title and right and interest in them. They're mine. You know, when God does that and he wrote that on your heart, can the government create a church? Can the government create people? No. Can they then rule what they don't own? What they didn't create? that they can't dispose of. And yet today we're treated like slaves.
Yeah.
We're treated as though we were just objects without any property. They've encumbered every piece of property you have for social reasons, environmental reasons, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everything you own is taxed. Everything you own. Nothing is free. Nothing. We're a free people and everybody's in chains. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you amazed? Do y'all feel it or no?
Yeah.
You're not free. No. We set the slaves were set free a long time ago, but it didn't work. I don't know if you've noticed that. Now we're all slaves. Everybody's a slave. And the slave of the slave now is the master of the slave. That's weird. That's weird. Isn't that strange? Where's the fault? In the master that usurps, rebels, takes over, or in the slave himself, who forgot who he was and said, I was made in the image and likeness of God. Tselemnu. I made you in our image. So God made us in his image. Betselemnu. Demutnu. And in the likeness of God. You not only look like me. Turtles don't look like me. Frogs don't look like me. Trees don't look like me. Bushes. But you were made in my image. You're like me. I'm free. Therefore, I made you free. And in my likeness. But you get to choose then. Do you want to be like God or like an idol? You get to choose. I mean, that's a scary thing that you get to choose. Little kids, little babies, they don't choose. They just, you provide their food, their clothing, their crib, whatever. You provide everything for them. And they're happy, they're content, as long as you provide everything for them. But as you grow up, you get more and more freedom to choose for yourself. How many know that any two-year-old knows how to? No. You go to bed right now. I don't want to. How many know that a two-year-old can do that? A one-and-a-half. One-and-a-half. Sometimes they're one-and-a-half. I like it when they put their hands on their hips like this. No. Because they don't know what you're going to do. This is the first time they rebelled like that. Used that word, no. They love that word. You used to use it on them. Now they want to use it back. No, I want my way, not your way. I mean, little kids can do that. And adults do it still. Not our people, but I mean other churches. They're rebellious. I mean, no, that God wants worship, and we can just say, no, I don't want to. I want the worship myself. I want all the goodies for me. I want to withhold. But Pharaoh had no choice, because once God makes his claim, he never makes a mistake. And he says, that's mine. You have to have a dispute with him after 10 plagues. They let him go. Not only that, but we have a document right here that said the Jewish people were set free forever. It's in the Old Testament, book of Exodus, and so on and so forth. It's all there. It's a document that tells that. So when the Muslims today are trying desperately to claim the land in the West Bank, they're not going to work because God's already spoken. He's taller than the UN. He's taller than the UN. I mean, no, the UN is saying, no, it belongs to them. They've been there for a while and blah, 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 blah. And then you even made Ariel Sharon. He's dead now, and he's dead because of this. He's dead because he went against God. He was told. I could tell you the whole story. I'm not going to. But he was told, don't give up the land. God gave it to you. Keep it for him as his steward. But he did it. Did it deliberately. And he knew it, exactly what he was doing. So I'm going to do it because the UN says so. Don't worry about the UN. What about God? How many know that when you live a godly life, you'll be persecuted? You'll be hated. You'll be hated. Why be afraid? You all are not following me probably so wondrously, but I can go back and forth from present day to ancient to Jesus to whatever. Why? It's always the same story. Freedom. That's what God's always wanted. He wrote that on your heart. Gave you natural dignity, value, worth. that no man can take away.
Amen.
You can give it away, but no man can take it from you. And if they do, you can call upon God. God, deliver your servant. So God came. You heard that cry. He came. Hey, my people are crying. Tell this Pharaoh, let him go right now. Send them away from you. Let them go from your hands. And not only that, there are many things that happen when you manumit somebody. First of all, you have to pay them. You can't just let them go. You can't just give them a document. They also have to be paid. And so the children of Israel went and they asked for all the silver and gold from their former masters and mistresses. They got it all. And they wore that, and that kept them for 40 years wandering in the desert. An 11-day trip by walking. Took them 40 years. Ah, they sinned. That's one thing when you do what God says, he doesn't want you to sin along the way because he's trying to give you happiness and joy. So they could have made it in just a few days. But God took them in a wrong way. How many know God will lead you in a way that's wrong to your eyes? So he led them right into a trap in the wilderness. They were going like this, and they didn't know where to go. And finally, they ended up right over here in a corner, and they couldn't get out. Man, if we go this way, Pharaoh will get us. If we go this way, we can't swim that fast. If we go this way, we try to run across the desert. If we go this way, we try to surrender and go back. What are we going to do? And they didn't know what to do. How many know that the world is like that today? The world doesn't know what to do. It can't solve any of its problems. It's getting more economic problems, more political problems, more social problems, and more religious problems. I love it. Don't you love it? Isn't this the hour designed for us? Isn't this the best day to be alive? What does that say? I can't read.
10:40.
The 10:40 window. There it is. So when you manumit somebody, when you let somebody go out of your hands, what happens? You have to give them a document that they're no longer mine. You have to quit claim them. Declare, emancipate them, an emancipation proclamation. You have to declare, this person is no longer mine. Not just that the new guy has you. The actual possession was Pharaoh, but the true owner, and I know you don't know exactly what I'm saying, but actual possession means they're in my hands.
Right.
So God says, okay, let them go, because they're mine. Give me back what is mine.
Yeah.
And then they had a little contest on that, and God won. Then he let him go. But he had to let him go and say, these are no longer mine. And then he went and tried to get them back. You remember that?
Yeah.
After they were gone out in the wilderness, and God let them into a little trap there, Pharaoh came with 600 picked chariots to wipe them out. How many know that when you're with God, it's always fun? Because you never have a clue or an idea what he's about to do. I thought you said it's going to be happy. God, it's not happy. It's horrible. And Moses, he stinks. What a leader. He never knows anything. We asked him what to do, and he said, I don't know. You know, what kind of a leader is that? That's the best leader to have. Have an ignorant leader. No, really. You want to have somebody that knows nothing, but knows God, who knows everything.
Exactly.
So he said, okay, well, go ask him. So Moses went, and they were all trapped like this. And then Moses came back and said, okay, I've been with God. Well, what did he say? Surrender or give up or freeze or fall down or what? What? Fight? Run? Swim? What? Here's what he said. Time to have a picnic, everybody. A party. We're going to throw a party. No, Pharaoh's right there. I know. Just turn your back on him. Don't look at him. Turn your back on him. He's going to come and slaughter us in the night. You know that. What are you saying? This is what God said. Have a picnic. The Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. Now, that's amazing. I mean, that's a ridiculous statement. That's a leader. As a leader who will tell you something you don't want to hear. Because it goes against your will, your mind, your emotions, your thoughts. But God had a hidden highway that they didn't know about. And all of a sudden, these two walls opened up and the waters stood up. And God breathed a wind, and it blew, and it dried it out, and they walked over on dry ground. Didn't even get their feet muddy. Because he blew a strong, mighty wind. Personally. That's amazing. Only God knew that highway. Highway 101. That's the highway of praise.
Amen.
Yoo-hoo! Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. And it was geared so that even the children and the little goats and the lambs and stuff, they all made it over too. But the people were nervous. Even while they're going over, they're thinking to themselves, geez, he'll be down with his chariot as soon as that cloud thing gets away from him. By the morning, he'll be right on our trail. He'll come in with those fast chariots and those little blade things that cut your legs off. He'll be here. How many know that you can always imagine the worst? But when God is for you, who can be against you? So not only do you manumit somebody, give them a document that says they're no longer yours but theirs, because they can change their mind, but also they have to pay you. Not only that, but once God owns you, he could free you. Did you know that God, being the new owner, can do anything he wants with anyone he wants? And he can defend his property by retaining your slaveship, or he could set you free and let you decide who you want to be. And not only that, but you could decide to stay with the master and marry his son.
Amen.
And inherit everything and sit on the throne. Did you know that?
Amen.
I don't believe in slavery, tyranny, lawlessness, despotism. I believe in freedom. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Do you believe in freedom? I believe that God today is about to demonstrate that manumitting somebody is much more than just letting them go. It's much more than just God taking them. We took this land of Texas. Did you know we took this land? We took it. And we had to fight a war over it, and we won. But we didn't say we won. We said God did that. Almighty God. We gave thanks to Almighty God.
Yeah.
We said God created Texas.
Amen.
And gave it to us. But there are people today claiming to take it back. We never meant that to go back. Some of your relatives, Hugo, some of yours too, they're trying to get this thing back. No, it's not going to happen. Why? You know why? You know why? You know why? It's not because they couldn't do it. They got a lot of people. It's not that they couldn't do it. It's God. You just have to deal with God. You just have to deal with God. Who does the title, the right, the interest belong to? Is God the owner of his people, and does he want them free? That's the issue.
Yes. Amen.
And did he give the land to the Palestinians, whoever they are? Who are the Palestinians? Philistines? This is a made-up word by Yasser Arafat. He just made it up. Yasser Arafat, he just made that word up. He just made it up. He just created that out of whole cloth to get the land, to get the property, so that they wouldn't be enslaved. They could be free. But they could be free at any time in Jesus. But they didn't want Jesus. Allah not taking good care of his people. So they think their stock is rising right now, but their stock is about to fall completely to the floor. Why? It's a big deal. Power, technology, military. I tell you, none of those are nothing. They're nothing. It's all God. It has nothing to do with man. Does the land belong to him? As Ariel Sharon knew for 6 years. For 6 years he was told, do not give up this land or you will die. And listen to this. You don't know this. The day he gave it up, that day he died. 6 years. He held it for 6 years, reading that scripture every day. He read the scripture every day because he swore, if I don't die today, I'll read those scriptures. And he did for 6 years. But in the second term, are you listening to me? In the second term, he changed his mind. Decided to go the way of all flesh. And he gave up the land. Drove out a lot of the Jewish settlers that were in the West Bank and so on. But God had given that land to the children of Abraham. Well, these are also the children of Abraham. Are they? Isaac was called his only begotten son. Why? Because he was the son of promise and not the son of the law. because God is a promise God. You are a promise people. And in promises, I don't do anything. It's not a two-sided promise. If you do this, I'll do that. That's a law. Only if I do. But this one is a promise.
Yes.
I swear I'll do this, and if you believe that, you can walk in it. If you don't believe in it, of course, I'll know right away. Because I'll see you're not worshiping and you're not serving and, you know, you're not putting your life on the line. How many know you can die any moment of any day? So your life is always on the line. Why would anyone want to follow God all the way? Why would anyone want to be a free man in this world of bondage and chains? Only the wicked throw off the chains in order to bind you. But God has another idea. He wants to set everybody free so they can make mistakes or choose Him. So He could manumit His slave, not only that the slave could stay or go, but the slave could actually choose to stay, get a piece of land plus personal property, and then marry the master's son and be the inheritor and sit on the throne of that land. Oh, I tell you, it's a funny world that God hates slavery. Always has, always will. That's why in the Garden of Eden He said, you may freely eat of all the trees of the garden. That's liberty. Liberty's this big. But of this one tree, here, this one, the knowledge of good and evil, you running the show, you being God, that one you cannot eat of. Just one little place, don't eat of that. But it wasn't like, I'll kill you. It's you'll die. That's different. In other words, I permit you to do what's good. I don't force you. I don't say you have to eat of all the trees of the garden. I didn't say you shall eat of all the trees of the garden. I'm eating, pretty soon I'm tubby. You know, no. It isn't that you shall. It's that you may. All good things, all just things, all true things, all right things are free to do. Only the wrong things are forbidden. But God will not destroy you if you choose the wrong. He'll let you decide for yourself the fruit of what you just did.
Yes.
So that you can repent
later
and change your mind to say, what did all my sinning get me? But misery. If you go after wealth, you'll lose your health, your relationships, your sanity. There are people here in this big city that have gone after wealth, billions and billions. But that doesn't mean they're healthy. They're worried. They're troubled. They have to, you know, go to the gym all the time and whatever else, you know, try to stay alive. Hello! They're not having fun. They can only go to certain places. I'm free. I can go anywhere in the world I want to go. But they have to go to Aspen or they have to go to some place or they'll probably end up in Las Vegas or, you know, who knows. In other words, they are not free at all. Though they got everything they wanted, they got nothing.
Right.
And therefore, they're ripe for the gospel. Not the law. You did bad, so you're getting it. No, for the gospel. God forgives sinners. God forgives people that choose wrong. But one thing you will do, you will choose. I wrote that on your heart. So therefore, you're a slave by your own choice. But you're free on the inside if you trust in God. You can be in prison and be free. The outer God will take care of.
Amen.
I could give story after story of people who have been to prison, federal prison, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, who are now free. It's not hard to be free. But you have to decide to follow God. You can stay in or you can leave. So the best has been saved to the last. How many know the best wine hasn't been produced yet? You are that chosen generation. These are the greatest days to be alive. Because the Lord is about to return for His people. He's coming back to get the fruit of the land, to get that which we have produced for Him. I mean, He's going to come and He's going to separate the sheep from the goats, the whore from the bride. He's going to separate all kinds of things until He has two groups. The one on His right hand, us. The one on His left hand, everybody else. So these are the ones that did not worship Him freely, with all their heart, all their soul, all their strength. These are the ones that were lukewarm or were wicked. So whether you're religious or whether you're just wicked, it's the same to God. That's why they killed Him. But over here, the only thing that counts, faith. The only thing that counts, submit to him out of faith. The only thing that counts, submit to him and then marry him. Oh, what a wonderful thing. This one's all promise. This one's all law. This has put the pressure on you. This has put the pressure on God who promised. This one is on you who must obey or disobey. Here, it's either believe or don't believe. I have chosen to believe that God is a loving Father and an almighty God and a gracious, merciful, loving, most high God.
Yes.
Huh. You get to decide. Amen. I mean, everybody gets to decide. You can't force people. You can't manipulate or trick people. I say this. You can't believe my words. You have to hear God. But I will speak his words. You must decide for yourself this day whom you shall serve.
Okay.
That's your essence. Your existence is given. You're here. But you must choose who you shall be because he wrote that on your heart. And nobody can take it away. I don't care what condition you're in, what slavery you're in, what bondage you're in. God can set you free this very day.
Amen.
From your lust, your anger, your bitterness, your fear, your envy, your doubt, your self-pity. He can set you free right now so that those never rule over you again. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Yes.
This is why we are the light of this world, the salt of this earth. There's no one else. No one. No one. The Jewish people cannot be the light and the salt because they're under the law. We're under the gospel. But we can win them over. And we can win the lukewarm over. And we can win the wicked over. We can win everybody because we're the temple of the living God who dwells in his people so that all men may hear the good news from us and see it and smell it and touch it and know it. Here's a people that have wisdom, favor. They have everything on this earth. Are you having a happy time now?
Yes.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice!
Amen.
Why? Because this is what God wants.
Yes.
He doesn't want miserable children. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. Things are tough, but I'm bearing it. That's not a Christian. I mean, it is a Christian. There's a lot of Christians like that. But that's not the picture of what God was thinking. He wanted his kids to, woohoo, 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 make it through.